Front Porch Radio presents Circle Unbroken with Taft Ayers.
Welcome back to another episode of Circle Unbroken. I've got a repeat offender here. Probably not how he wants to be described. But I've got a buddy back on Circle Unbroken today to talk about something that is very close to him, but it's also a work that I want to talk about that is a tangible work. This is John David Schwartz, or J.D. Schwartz. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, Taft. What's up, man?
You know I've got to drop both terms.
We go way back.
I know. It goes back to our youth, right? Yep. Stuff you got to talk to. There's a guy here in town. His name's CJ, a local high school kid. And I've gotten to be good buddies with his daddy. And I met their grandparents the other day, and I kept referring to him as CJ the whole time. And the grandfather was like, yeah, the thing I love about Caleb. Yeah, it was one of those deals for me where the granddad wasn't being snarky at all.
Yeah.
But this was a name I knew him by,
right,
versus somebody else. But so Mr. Schwartz, you like that?
No.
He is in today. And what we're going to discuss is a work that you do, and you do a lot of work, but I want to begin by doing a little bit of storytelling today just to catch up our audience. Usually there's a lot of, you know, filler at the beginning for me where I'll talk about the show and I'll talk about our format and what we do. But if you are just now finding Circle Unbroken, we talk about faith, business, and community. Well, what I want to do today is I want to talk about faith and the business, you'll like this, of taking your faith, ready, to the community, what it means to be a person of faith, and then to turn around and say, we believe that because of our faith, what we do in the community is so important, so beneficial, and matters so much. And so we're going to really explore that today with the ministry that you have and that you work with called Into the City. That's something that is super important, but it's also something that I think is functional because it is the church being the church. Yeah. And so I wanted to kind of give that tease here a little bit, but then walk through it some more. And I want to start with telling a story, and I've told a version of this story before, where I went into a different community and worked through a local church. And I went in and I worked, and when I did it, they gave us a map, and this was for like a mission type of trip that we were going to do. And they gave us a map of areas that we could go into the community with, right? Like, here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to do it. And we noticed quickly on the map, and this is another state, so I don't want anybody here locally to try to figure it out.
Right, right.
But in the map, there was an area that was clearly marked off of the map. And it was marked off of the map, and I couldn't help it. We were serving in a church in Memphis at the time, and I was in a different state here, and we were there to canvas their community. I said, why is that area marked off? And the man, who was a very sweet man from the church, said this to me. He said, listen, he said, trust me, this area over here is an area, here's what he said, where it's not going to work. It's an area that has been tried. We have done some things over here, but it's an area where it's just not going to work. There's a whole lot of hatred in that area from them to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an area that's, the problems there are a lot older than me and you. And let me tell you something, JD, like that, it wrecked me.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about me,
yeah,
well, you know where we took the buses.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some stories from us going over there. Now, I don't say this to be disparaging.
Sure.
I don't start the show today to talk about condemnation on this church and how they did it. Also, because that church, it had Christ's name on it, not Taft's.
Right.
And so there's no way, form, or fashion that is an offense to me.
Right.
But I think it was telling about not just their methods, but our DNA, our in Christianity, broadly speaking. And so today, I want to talk about this for our Columbia audience, because if you just look out on, everybody knows this, we broadcast Front Porch Radio out West 7th Street. We look at the beautiful city and town and see all the action going by. But if I was telling people right now, from our front porch studios here, if we looked out, we always say this, from right to left on your radio dial. That's what Clayton Harris says when we're calling a football game or painting a picture for people. So if I look out of our front porch radio here, I want everybody to picture this with me. And if I just go to the right, I go to what is called downtown Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest ironies of a growing, bustling downtown Columbia is this. I can take my wife to eat. I can take my client to a concert. I can go to some really nice places down here. But I can come out of almost every business down here and turn right, left, go east, west, go north or south, and I will hit opulence, and I will turn the other way, and I will hit opportunity. Mm-hmm. And when I say this, well, what I mean for our audience is this. I will go to a really nice home, or I will go one street over and go to an area where they're depending on a lot of help and a lot of assistance. And that is the irony of downtown Columbia. It's also the irony of our town in different areas and pockets if we were drawing a map.
Yeah.
But walk with me, audience. If I'm going from the right over here at downtown Columbia, and I just come to my left up West 7th Street, okay? For those of you that know our area, I'm leaving downtown. I'm leaving the courthouse, and I'm going down West 7th Street. I'm eventually going to pass church after church after church, funeral home. Then I'm going to pass, there's going to be a fork in the road, and right in the middle of that fork in the road, there's a beautiful campus. There's a Christian campus that everybody here knows as Columbia Academy. They will be taught of God, right? A place for kids to go, and whether they're churched or unchurched, they go and they receive what is called a Christian education. Mm-hmm. Well, then if I keep hanging my left on that fork and I pass one entrance to Columbia Academy, and I'm giving everybody a real walkthrough here, I get to the hospital. Great irony there, because I believe fundamentally the church is also a hospital. And I didn't say that. He did. Then I go through a major intersection in town, and I'm going to approach an area, and the area is the Graymere area. Many people golf there. Mm-hmm. Many people go there for meetings at the country club, swimming, tennis, all different things. And then so you've got the Graymere Country Club in an area here right before Sunnyside. I mean, this stuff, if you were painting a town, if you're creating it, go into this area where there's the Graymere Country Club and there's a neighborhood, you ready for it? Called Sunnyside. Everybody's in a good mood, right? But over to the right of that is the Graymere Church of Christ, where you serve. I refer to it all the time as just the Graymere Church. And I don't say that because I'm trying to do away with a name or a label, but I just say, you know, Graymere? Okay, the Graymere Church. It paints the area there.
Right.
And so for those of you that have just walked me down here, I've told you about a major intersection, about West 7th Street, about all the different areas where you can go in town. And what you do from your perch, is what I say a lot of times, at Graymere, is you say this, I'm getting off of the perch. Mm-hmm. My job as a minister is not, I believe that you walk this out every day of your life, is not to babysit a chair. I'm going to get out of this office, going to get out of this space, and we're going to go into the city.
Yeah.
We're going to go down these streets, past these churches, past these restaurants, blow through these intersections. That sounds way too fast. Drive through these intersections. But we're going to go into the city. And so that's a ministry that you have. And this is a tease that I have for our audience today. But what I want to do, John David, is I want to go back, okay? I want to go back to into the city, this ministry that you all have from there. And let's just talk about the idea of where it started. We'll have two breaks today, so I'll cut you off at some point.
All right.
But let's go from the beginning idea, what it is now, and we'll finish today with the old radio adage of, if you want more information, you can find. Let's just go to the beginning and let's just start talking about where this came from.
All right.
You go.
man, that's a good story.
Okay.
It's a long story.
I love. Wait, we got time. Hour four, man.
And before I even get started, man, I just want to say that there's still a lot that we're learning.
Okay.
And a lot that we're not doing right.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There's a lot of trust and faith and prayer. And,
okay.
But I want to start with Luke 4, because this is one of my favorite passages in the world. And I think you've already alluded to it, the idea of the church being a hospital. Mm. This is the mission statement that when Jesus was asked to read from the book of Isaiah, this is what he started with. The Spirit of the Lord is with me. He has anointed me to tell the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce forgiveness to the prisoners of sin and the restoring of sight to the blind, to forgive those who have been shattered by sin and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. I mean, of all the people that Jesus came to, you know, it's not that he was going to withhold himself from the healthy and the rich and the well-off and the well-to-do and the successful. But it's almost like he's saying, hey, I'm going to a people that don't get anything else in this life. And that hit me early on. I've been doing youth ministry now for 22 years.
Man.
Super old, dude. That has always tried, kind of been what I've tried to live my life by. If this is who Jesus was reaching, who am I supposed to reach? Mm. You know, and I'm not good at it, man. I'm really bad at it. I'll probably pass by people on the road more than I'll stop to help them, if I'm being honest.
Sure, I understand.
But I'm trying, and that's, you know, if that's the mission of Jesus, then that's, I would say, where all ministries have to be born out of. Who needs Jesus the most? You know, and I'm not going to knock on churches at all.
Sure.
I am going to challenge us, for all of us who call ourselves Christians.
I agree.
Who are we trying to reach? Are we trying to reach the people that look just like us or already have a similar belief system in Jesus? Or are we going to get a little uncomfortable, like that place you were talking about, where it's like, okay, that's off the map. Why? Well, because it's uncomfortable. Okay, am I willing to go there? Am I willing to go there not because I'm dangerous and cool and, you know, I want to live on the edge? Am I willing to go there because that's where Jesus walked?
Right.
Right. So, man, been in youth ministry for 22 years. So I came to Graymere in 2016, and, you know, I came from a place, Chapel Hill, you know.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I think Chapel Hill and different schools in this area, you know, Murray County, Marshall County schools at least used to be, from what I understand, you know, big time rivals,
right,
or whatever.
Sure.
But it was a smaller town with, you know, just a smaller setting, you know. So I got to do a lot of my ministry through school programs and just being able to walk into elementary or high school at any time. You know, the principals were were members of the church, and, you know, were Christians in different places and would say, hey, I want you here. And so I got to do a lot of my ministry in that way in a little town like Chapel Hill. Come to Columbia, and man, it's just a different setting. You know, it's a town of, I don't know what, 30, 40,000, 50,000 maybe now, where Chapel Hill was a town of 3,000.
Right.
3,000?
Right. Yeah.
So you got a lot more churches, and you got a lot of different schools and a lot of stuff going on. And what I learned very quickly was, man, ministry is not the same, you know? every kid, 90% of all of my kids in Chapel Hill went to the public school. And I think you'll understand, I'm not knocking any Christian schools. I grew up at a Christian school.
Sure.
But what I realized, and what I've kind of had to realize growing up at a Christian school, you know, way back in the day, was if you were at a public school, you had to decide whether or not your faith was real.
What, like, your life looked like.
Legit? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Do I really believe what I talk about or what I do on Sunday, man, the rest of the week? And you get to a place in Columbia where you've got prominent Christian schools. I grew up in Jackson, Tennessee, so I went to Jackson Christian School. That might be a dirty word for some here.
It's, you know, too
because
soon.
Of
it's
the rivalries,
soon,
yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the point I'm making is, you know, I found it comfortable growing up as a teenager, going to a Christian school and not ever really being challenged in my faith.
Right.
And I started seeing that with some of the kids here.
And again, people are being honest. A lot of adults are in the same spot,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, is there a place in town? I mean, you took a right, and then you went back left.
Mm-hmm.
How many church buildings do we pass?
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I don't care what the sign says. How many church buildings do you pass on the
right
street? So Columbia is a very wealthy church place.
That's fair.
Okay. You've got any type of church you want on every kind of corner. And so the question becomes, okay, now what does the church look like? Is it just a conglomerate of buildings in a place, you know, or is it really going to be Jesus people reaching out to people who don't go to one of those buildings, who isn't a church? And I started realizing that, that my teenagers were kind of in the same place. You know, a lot of them you know, have grown up going to Columbia Academy. Even if they don't, they've always grown up coming to church. They've, all of their friends go to church somewhere, you know, that sort of thing. And so, you know, I'd be trying to teach them in class and seeing those glazed over eyes. Mm. You know, you've been there. You've been a youth minister before, right?
And, yeah, man.
You know, where you know what you're teaching is good stuff because it's from the Bible. It's from what Jesus is teaching. But they're like, man, we've heard this before, you know?
Francis Chan says it's when they've been hearing Christianese their whole
life. Yeah. And so that's what I start realizing. And again, not a knock on anything. It's just the reality and the challenges of constantly keeping our faith fresh and our faith real. So I'm starting to notice that. We end up going on a mission trip. I may have told this on one of our other times I got to be on here. But we go to Chattanooga for a quick mission trip. And one of the places that we finally get to start door knocking was we were trying to be systematic. This wasn't one of those, okay, we're not going to that place.
Right.
It was just we're starting in the vicinity around the church and going outwards. Well, At whatever point it was, we finally got to go outwards far enough that we hit the inner city, Chattanooga inner city. And we start, kids are like, yeah, I'll come. Can I come? And parents are like, yeah, come pick them up or whatever. So we go that night, me and one of the teenagers, and there's like two kids that get on the bus. And one kid is like, man, I want to get on the bus. Can I ride the bus with you? We follow him back across to go meet his mom. I think by the time we got every kid on the bus for that night, there was like five kids, right? We show up, we treat them like they're rock stars. We have a big old time, you know, vacation Bible school. I think I've told this on here before. One of the kids stood up, turned around, and double birded every member in the church. I mean, you know, real deal stuff,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But we take them back that night, and we tell them, all right, we'll come back tomorrow night. We come back tomorrow night, and there's like 12 to 14 kids. So more than doubled. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I mean, this is all, you know.
Right.
It's all starting to stick. Have a great night again. We take them back. And several of them, all right, what time tomorrow night? I said, y'all, we're going home. You know, this was our last night.
Oh, dude. I'm
but yeah. Yeah. So, you know, your heart's breaking because these kids are falling in love. You're falling in love with them. You want to be able to continue that, but we got to go home. But on the bus ride home, we start talking. Man, can we do this in Columbia? And man, it starts kind of hitting me. I'm hearing my kids who are sitting in Bible class all the time, you know, trying to be respectful, you know,
right.
They're probably listening, but it's not, you know, super engaged excitement all the time. But they're getting excited about this. I'm like, okay, we can do this. Let's see what we can do. And that started, we're up against a break, right?
Yeah.
So that started the discussions of what could this look like in Columbia? Like, what if we decided we don't have to go on a mission trip and that we just decided that our backyard was the mission field.
Right.
You know, what would that look like for Graymere, for our youth group? And so, man, we start digging into it. We start studying it, start calling people that I've known from other inner city ministries. And we start researching. We drive around for 5 hours one day. We talk to different, we talk to one of the managers at the Columbia Housing Authority. What, you know, and we're just asking the questions, what could this look like? And man, God had big plans for us. So I can't wait to tell him.
Well, that's what I want to leave everybody with here. We're about to go into a break. We're joined by J.D. Schwartz, who serves at a church down the road in what we call the Graymere area of town. And we're talking about a ministry called Into the City. And I want to leave you with the last phrase that he said. They went on these trips, they came back home, and they said, what could this look like in Columbia? That might be a question you need to ask wherever it is that you're planted. Think about something you're passionate about that you wish could happen right here on your turf, wherever that might be, and ask yourself the question, what could this look like right here? We know that we reach many different places and many different audiences, a lot of different areas. But when you ask yourself the question, what could this look like right here? Be ready for how the Lord might answer. We'll be back on Circle Unbroken.
This is Coach Tre'Davious Goff from Columbia Central High School Football. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC. Parks Motor Sales was founded by my granddad, Bobby Parks, and my great-granddad, Julian Mays, in 1958. We've been family-owned the whole time, and being family-owned, locally-owned, means you get to get your next vehicle or your existing vehicle serviced by the same people who stand in the grocery line with you, drop their kids off at the same school you do, and smile and are happy to see you when they do. So come see us at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee on 919 Nashville Highway or parksmotorsales.com.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Maury County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at garbagemaninc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people. The place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship. Beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia. Owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist. Assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
Hey, this is Tripp Stoltz, owner of Columbia Ace Hardware. Spring is here, and we are excited to announce that we have completely remodeled our store. We have expanded our selection in many brands, including Milwaukee, Steel, and Big Green Egg. We have new inventory arriving daily, so come see the changes for yourself at 112 East James Campbell Boulevard, Columbia, Tennessee.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
This is Tripp Stoltz with Columbia Ace Hardware. I love listening to 101.7 WKOM FM, Columbia, Tennessee.
Welcome back to Circle Unbroken. We're glad, A, that you're with us and you stayed with us through the break here, or B, that you just tuned in. And if you've just tuned in on terrestrial radio, meaning, all right, definition here, meaning that you just jumped into your car, if you like what you hear coming up, you can go and visit frontporchradiotn.com. You can go to the Circle Unbroken podcast. And if you're not a subscriber, that's where you'll find us for the first time. And you can go back and listen to the beginning of this episode today. It's going to be titled on Circle Unbroken, Into the City will be the name of the subject here today, and it'll say with J.D. Schwartz. And so go back and find that. We hope this is something that encourages you. We hope this is something that fires you up, if you're a believer or not. We hope if you're a believer, you say, we need to do more of this. If you're not a believer and you have been turned off before by the way we act as Christians, we hope that this is something today that you look at and you nod your head at versus shaking your head at. That's what we want to be for you. We want to be a light that makes you think, I used to like something about Christianity. Well, this is probably what you liked. Or you may be somebody that thinks, you know what? I haven't liked anything in a long time. Well, if you like people, if you like Humanity 101 and caring for people, then we think that this is a message that you'll like to hear more about today. We're talking about the ministry and the work that is called Into the City. And we're talking about this. Now, JD, I love it because I've said this before. You guys got me a t-shirt back in the day. It's my most comfortable t-shirt. It's also a simple design on the t-shirt with like the skyline and the Into the City. And it's good. It's even a better shirt. Like, I've dropped a little bit of weight here lately.
Yeah.
But it's a better shirt for me when I got my game on, right? Like, but I'm not there yet. So I'll probably bust that shirt out in July and see what happens. You ready, folks? I just set a goal for July comfy t-shirt weather. All right. So I digressed completely to get back into our subject today. JD is here and we're talking about the work Into the City. And we left before the break by saying this. What could this look like here in Columbia? That's where you were.
Yeah.
That's what you were thinking based on, I call them foreign missions, which means doesn't have to mean going overseas, but doing things not at home. Right.
Yeah.
Outside of your land.
Yeah.
Things you were doing other places and you said, what could this look like here?
Yeah.
Now let's jump into what happened.
Okay. So let me back up like 30 years.
Because this hard rewind, folks.
Yeah, hard rewind. What's really interesting about this is that churches used to do this all the time.
Sure.
And I'm going to talk about some people in this story, but
oh, that's fine.
I've got people that are involved in this ministry now that had been involved in these bus ministries back in the 70s, 80s. Ken Wiles, Debbie Wiles, you know, have been a part of this community for years. And Miss Debbie, you know, still rides the bus with us, but you know, before Mr. Ken passed, you know, he would sit on that bus with us every Wednesday night, you know. Well, they were a part of a bus ministry back, I guess, late 70s, early 80s or something like that.
Standing on the shoulders of giants, right? Like
100 kids.
Yeah.
Wow. They were bringing 100 on a Saturday morning. You know, right. So you had these, you know, we're going to pick up 100 kids and we're going to take them to this gym and they're going to sit there and they're going to listen to us talk about Jesus, you know. Mm. Well, what's really, I rewind because you don't see that anymore.
Right.
What, at some point, I don't know when or why. I mean, I have some ideas, just cultural and societal, sure, you know, shifts or whatever, where maybe people started losing faith in or losing trust in or whatever. I mean, you know, we don't let our kids run around outside like we used to.
Yeah, right.
I would dare say we used to ride our bike miles in an afternoon.
Had the conversation with my son Friday when we were actually in an old neighborhood.
Right, yeah. And so for whatever reason, bus ministries ended for the most part.
Sure.
You know, again, there's still pockets in different places. But I do think it's neat to know that this had been done.
Right.
And that meant it could probably be done again. So anyways, long story short, maybe. we start looking into what a bus ministry could look like in Columbia. One of my buddies, Kenny Purvis, had worked a long time in Nashville inner city, had planted an inner city in Pensacola, had worked in the Mobile inner city, and that was all kind of different church plants out of the first original one, from what I understand, in Nashville. I get him to come ride around with me, and man, 5 hours of him telling me stories and like, here's what you need to be prepared for. Here's what could happen. Here's some bad things that could happen. You know, whatever. Here's just experience. And of course, by the end of that, I'm sitting there going, do I want to do this?
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you, man, when you start looking into going down a road that you've never gone before, that you're going to have to trust in God, man, there's a lot of fear to be had. But you know, at the end of that, he got to meet some of our teenagers, our, you know, our student leaders at the time. He just wanted to get to know them, and it was kind of a, okay, what could this look like for us type thing. And I remember having those first meetings with our kids, you know, and really starting to talk about it and try to, and a couple of them were like, man, I don't know, JD. I'm a little nervous about this. I was like, oh, yeah.
These were kids that were in your youth group?
Yeah.
That were regulars, leaders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, your strong ones. And these are kids that love the Lord and love people, and they're saying, man, I'm nervous. And so I said right back, me too, you know. I don't know what this is going to look like, but are you up for figuring it out? And they're like, yeah, let's do this. Let's see what happens. So we put a plan together. And then I take it to my elders, Man, I'm going to tell you, Taft.
And I want people listening, some know what that means, some don't.
Yeah, shepherds.
If somebody's talking about, in this context, elders, shepherds, it's the men who have been called to really look after the church, not in a hierarchy kind of way, but in a way where they look after the souls and the affairs of the church. I just wanted to give everybody a working definition of what
that means. And I'll say this. I knew going into it that we had a really awesome opportunity because Graymere has always been a mission-minded church. Mm-hmm. Our missions minister, John Winchester, is the one who, I mean, got all this started, to be honest. I mean, he's the one that put the trip together to Chattanooga, does an awesome job with our missions around the world and keeps all that running and has planted multiple churches, all over the world. So I knew going to our shepherds in a meeting that I had a really good chance of them being on board with this. And it's not like they were going to be against us reaching people. It's just, I mean, you got to start talking logistics. Man, at the time, we had a big, huge Prevost bus, like touring-looking bus that nobody, like two people at the church could drive. We had an old broken-down 15-passenger bus, and we had a 25-passenger bus that we still use, good shape. And so it was kind of one of those questions of like, okay, it's not just what does it look like for us to have them at the building? How are we going to get them at the building? Dude, within a month or I'd say within 2 month period, they were so on board. And I just attribute this to God opening hearts and doors. Man, we had sold the two buses that nobody could drive and had just leased two brand new buses that anybody could drive. So we'd gone from the capacity of not being able to really do this to now we can fill up three buses. You know, we've got a capacity now for 55 kids. They were on board. I mentioned Debbie and Ken earlier, Jason and Shelley Golden, they've been a long time part of this community. They started getting on board with us. The teenagers are all about it. And let me back up and also say,
you said this is six plus years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the whole purpose, obviously, to reach people.
And for those keeping score on our timestamp here, this is pre-COVID.
Right.
So we're talking 17, 18. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. When we finally get it rolled, when we finally run the bus for the first time, we've door knocked. The kids have worked, a couple of Saturdays, passing out flyers and all this kind of stuff. We're talking March of 2017.
Okay. I
think that's right.
Okay. Got it.
Maybe even 18. I don't remember. It may have been 18.
Which is also, I want to interject
March
this, it's also a special time to do so because no matter how you feel about him, I don't care how people feel about him, but you had Trump in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And with Trump in the White House, that was polarizing for many people, correct or incorrect, racially, religiously, and all those things. And so I like to give historical and political background, while they don't drive this discussion, those things are out there. These white people coming over here and doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring that up because I hadn't even thought about most of that stuff.
Right, sure.
It was just
my stupid brain.
No. It's okay because it really does bring to light that whatever needed to be done, God was doing it.
Mm, right.
We're not the ones tearing down these
barriers. The one who's really on the throne, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was free of charge.
Love it. So by 2018, and I will say this, it was really important for my teenagers to be on board and involved because I'm a youth minister. What am I trying to teach teenagers?
Right.
How to love Jesus and to take Jesus to other people. That's what I've been trying to do for 22 years, and now we've got a shot to do it in a totally different way than I'd ever been able to do it as a youth minister before. So we door knock, we get the word out, we get parents telling, we'd love for our kids to drive the bus. And so, man, it comes time for us to drive the bus on that first Wednesday. And I'm calling it, we'd asked them to fill out forms. We didn't want any kid on the bus whose parents didn't know who we were or giving us permission,
Which goes along with biblical lines of when you're going to do something, count the calls, make sure
that. So I'm calling And I'm calling his parents. I'm like, hey, this is JD. You know, you filled out this paper. This is great. We would love to pick your kid up on Wednesday night. We're, you know, here's what the program is going to be. Yeah, I don't know about that. And that's for real, man. For 2 weeks.
Wow.
For 2 weeks.
Wow.
I had people who had said, yeah, our kid can come maybe next week. All right, how about next? You know, so I call again. I don't know, you know. Well, so after that second time that happened, because everybody's backing out now, you know, we've gotten different places in these neighborhoods. And so I'm like, well, let's just run the bus and see if we can meet some people again. We'll just turn a Wednesday night into kind of an informal old fashioned door knocking. Right.
Right.
Man, we don't get one kid on the bus. Nobody. We run a bus. We go back. We've got a list of names. So we started praying for them that night. All right. The next week we go, not one kid on. So we've gone now about a month where we can't get anybody to ride the bus. The third time we go out there, there's a kid out there. And
what's that feel like going the third time?
Oh, dude, it's you've already shed tears and you're already heartbroken that it hasn't been jumped on the way you wanted it to be.
Right.
And so that third time you're sitting there thinking, man, as a minister, are people going to start doubting me?
Sure.
You know, are people going to start doubting God? Right. Are people going to start doubting this whole thing?
How was Noah feeling back in the
day? Yeah.
Right.
But we pull into the neighborhood and there's this kid out there. And just for safety purposes, I'm not going to give his name, but he's in kindergarten at the time. And the kid starts sprinting towards the bus out of the yard. Well, my bus driver has to slam on the brakes not to hit him. And, you know, come to find, I go to meet his parents. And sure enough, I'd already been calling him. And she finally, when she meets me, she's like, yeah, I think it'll be okay for him to get on the bus. Man, he gets on the bus. That's the one kid we get on the bus that first Wednesday night. And we decided, okay, whatever kids show up, they're going to be our rock star that night.
And what does he think he's coming to?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But he is one kid on a bus with some teenagers and some adults, and he's a five-year-old kid, big-eyed, big smile, and he just starts hugging everybody. And we jump off the bus, man, and we've got – I had called ahead, and I was like, hey, I want y'all to make, like, a cheering tunnel, you know, so when he gets off the bus
– this is how church could be. Yes.
And he gets off the bus, and we're literally treating him like he is the most amazing kid, the most important kid ever. And, man, we have a blast with him. I don't remember what we did that night. I just know we made something and told him – you know, taught him a scripture or something. Maybe we just loved on him the whole time. I don't remember. We go back the next week and he's out there playing with his cousins and he does the same thing, runs at the bus where we got to, you know, hit the brakes, but he's actually supposed to be with his cousins and his auntie and not getting on the bus that night. So he runs, he's like, well, I want to get on the bus. I said, well, time out, you know, we got to make sure. So I start talking to his auntie and her three boys, and they're all three like, why don't they all get on the bus? And so now we've gone from one kid to like five or six kids.
Somebody said those people at the church were so good to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, had to be, you know.
It wasn't they shoved dogma down my throat and told me my whole family was going to hell.
Well, and think about it this way, too. We weren't quitting, you know. One of the things that had been told me when we first started looking into this is somebody said, nobody does things consistently. No churches do things consistently, you know. And I thought, man, that's... What do you, you know, it's kind of one of those, what do you mean? You know, we're all doing things consistently. And when I asked, people will do a Thanksgiving meal. People will do gifts for people at Christmas time. You know, people will do something else through the year. Nobody is spending time in our neighborhoods all the time. I was like, okay, here's our calling. You know, we got to be there and we got to love. Anyways, man, it was cool. By the end of that year, I told you that was March of 18, because the mission trip had been 2017. So that was March of 18. By the time we finished the program at the end of the school year, man, we had like eight kids. It was cool. It was the coolest thing ever, man. And our worshiping with them and teaching them about Jesus became what we did as a youth group on Wednesday nights, so that we're all in our youth activity center together. And, you know, the teenagers are involved in helping with crafts and, you know, the Bible teaching. And you got teenagers up there that, you know, aren't comfortable in front of people, but they'll read the memory verse, you know, and let the kids, you know, read along with them. And they're helping me lead these goofy songs and have fun with these kids. Man, it was awesome. That was the end of the first, I guess, 2 months of our ministry.
So 2 months.
2 months.
Eight kids.
Eight kids.
There's people that are built two different ways.
Yeah.
There's people that look at that and say, we're giving a lot of our time, effort, energy for eight kids.
Yeah.
There's other people that look at that and say, if we win one, then it was worth it. Or if we planted a seed, it was worth it. But there's something that my brain goes to here where every different church has ministries. If you're part of a church and they're doing a program that's not a ministry, you're wasting time, money, and talent of the church. Like, everything's a ministry. It is. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
If you say we're having a Texas Hold'em night, like, I don't care. I mean, I'm being silly. Yeah. But if a church said that, it's to bring somebody to the badoonch table. Like, literally, I think that's what it's supposed to be. Or you're wasting the church. Because anybody else can throw an event. Anybody else can do an outreach or whatever. It's got to be a ministry, I think.
Yeah.
Every church has programs. How many programs in churches right now can point to eight people in 2 months? Like, how many of them have those kind of numbers where they can say eight people came from outside to the inside in 2 months? When you put it in that perspective and you look at it that way, it's one of these things of, hey, we did X, Y, and Z. Did eight people stick around? Did eight people come to faith? That'd be a success everywhere.
Yeah. It really would.
That's just my silly head again on stuff like that. We are close to going to break here. We have J.D. Schwartz from Graymere Church talking about Into the City. And when we get back, we are going to talk about real pains that come with it. Real pains that come with it. And not to be skeptic, but what we don't want to do is make this presentation to you today on Circle and Broken about an awesome ministry and work that is happening without giving you the reality that sometimes people get it and sometimes people don't. And you know what? That's called human nature. That's the reason programs like this exist. But then also, I want to give a real, in our third session today, I want to give a real functional piece to our community. If you're hearing this and you want to get in touch with JD from outside the area. Hey, tell me more where you become somebody that's riding around in communities with other people saying,
and I would love that.
Here's how we did it.
Yeah.
And then also if there's somebody locally that says, I coach this kid in rec ball, or I'm a guidance counselor at Riverside and this girl's not getting through, how can we use your ministry as a resource to the community? I believe
I would love that.
We have a megaphone here for a reason. And so that's what we want to use on Circle Unbroken. Stay with us. Come back. We'll have JD stick around and more on Into the City.
This is Jim Ross, and you are listening to Front Porch Radio, WKOM 101.7, located in Columbia, Tennessee.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. We have advertised with WKRM and WKOM for the past several years and found it to be very successful. I highly recommend advertising with them if you have a local business like ours. We're located at 1608 Hatcher Lane here in Columbia. We're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6 and Saturdays from 8 to 2. Stop by Holland's for all your prescription needs where we have fast, friendly, courteous service. We custom fit support hose for you also. Thanks for supporting Holland's and WKRM and WKOM.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hey, this is Derek Ransom with 10 Pin Alley, voted number one family entertainment center in Murray County. We offer 32 bowling lanes, giant arcade, laser tag, bumper cars, and a full cafe and bar menu. We also specialize in group events, kids and adult birthday parties, company parties, sports team parties, and holiday parties. We're located at 322 East James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia. Call us today at 931-381-BOWL or visit us at 10pin.com. 10 Pin Alley, it's where the good times roll.
In today's uncertain world, you can never be too careful about your family's financial future. That's why the Parker Group, a part of Baird's Private Wealth Management, is offering a free second opinion on your financial plans. Let us review your current plan, and we will identify any gaps and offer suggestions to improve it. Please call the Parker Group at 931-548-3737. That's 931-548-3737. Robert W. Baird & Company Incorporated does not offer tax or legal advice.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I want to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years, and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
This is Coach Devin Simler from Columbia Central Baseball. You are listening to 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Welcome back to Circle Unbroken. I'm your host, Taft Ayers. And I tell you my name just so you can take your chance to run if you would like. But I also tell you my name to say I'm the one that gets to host this show. But I love not being the star of it. I love having people come in that we get to interview, that we get to talk to about things that they're doing and ways that they're serving in life. And today we're joined in by J.D. Schwartz, and we're talking about a ministry that J.D. runs through the church where he serves, the Gray Mirror Church of Christ. And this is called Into the City. And so if you want to know more about that, we're going to tell you before our show ends today how you can get in touch with J.D. But I want to start start this last session here. We've talked about what it means. We've talked about the origin and kind of what they did. But JD, I'd like to talk a little bit before we tell them how they can get in touch with you. I would like to talk a little bit about just natural human pains that come with this.
Yeah.
From the inside.
In other words, lessons learned.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let's do that. Go ahead, man.
Man, there's a bunch.
Right. You're like, we don't have long enough.
How about I start with this one?
Okay.
It may not happen on your time.
Sure.
And that's hard for people. I mean, I've already told the story about, you know, the fact that I called for 2 weeks, ran a bus for 2 weeks and had nobody. And then all of a sudden God starts working it in his time. By the end of the next year, before COVID shut us down for a little while, we had a night where we had 60 kids on the bus. That was crazy and chaotic. But it was also one of those moments where you look back and we're like, wow, you know, it hurt having to wait on it the way we had to wait on it and question some things. But the hindsight, you know, the looking back and seeing God's providence in it, man, was so eye-opening. So I just might throw that out there to say there's a lot of different types of pain that sometimes we have to go through patiently because God's making it better on the back end. You know, I have to believe in God's providence and that he works things, all good things, to the glory of those who love him and are called to his purpose. Something like Romans 8, something like that.
A little bit of Romans there.
Yeah. Great, great verse. Man, I'll give you another one. I was thinking about this. There's kind of a twofold here. You can't make people.
Right.
And here's what I mean by that. Jesus even said, not everybody that I call is going to come to me. I mean, he told the story of the parable of the sower. And there's going to be a lot of people hear the gospel, but that doesn't mean they're going to stick. You know what I'm saying? People that literally ate the fish and the loaves that Jesus gave them, turned around and walked off, you know, when he said, okay, now you're going to get serious about me, you know, John 6. And so, man, I mean, we've been going for 6 years now, and I can look back and I bet there's less than five of those kids that are still consistent all the time, you know. You can't make them. And that's human nature that some of them, it'll start creeping into their heart and really start making a difference. And, you know, and some of them may not. But what I'm learning is it's a long game.
And to be fair, you can't make anybody. So take the average family that has been on their row at whatever church for years. They know how to put a polo shirt on. They know how to button it up. They know how to sing the words. Fill in the blank. They know how to show up. You can't make those kids stay.
Yeah.
You can't make anybody stay. And so sometimes I think we do outreach and we got to see data. We got to see numbers. We have to see that. But then the data and the numbers and the research in our own internal structure is scary also.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to say that to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
I said earlier off air, I go, so that's a regular church 101. And then you said, hey, that's Bible. I mean, that's the way it's always been. Are you, John 6, are you going to go too? You know,
right.
that kind of question.
Right, right.
On that.
And the second part of that is, you know, I do this primarily because I want teenagers to understand that our outreach to people doesn't have to be hard. You know, it doesn't have to be like, okay, when you walk up to somebody, you got to say this. No, you just love on people, you know. And so while I've gotten to see some teenagers, man, who jumped in full throttle and want to be a part of it every time they get to be put on a team, there's also some kids that are like, I'm not as comfortable with that. That's fine. I get it. I'm not trying to push that. But I do still want them to understand that this is an easy way for you to learn how to disciple others. And when I say easy way, man, it's really easy to sit next to a cute little five-year-old and sing songs to him. It really is, you know? And that's not, you know, we're not talking like a conversion Bible study here. We're talking about a five-year-old kid who's learning songs about Jesus and learning scriptures and stories from the Bible and how much God loves them. And, man, it might be 10 years before we see it stick. It might be 20 or 25 years. That's one of the things I remember from from Kenny riding around with him, you know, who'd done all those years at Nashville Inner City. And he's telling some of these stories. He's like, hey, I know a guy who didn't become a Christian 30, he rode the bus 30 years earlier. I'm like, oh, so that kind of long game, you know what I'm saying? But it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. I think it's just more of a do it. Just do it. Just love on somebody, you know, get involved trying to figure out how to tell people about Jesus, because there's a lot of great things in this world. There's a lot of great things in this community. But if Jesus is not a part of it, it ain't nothing.
We started today's show by me doing some storytelling, and I want to end it with that. There's a gentleman that I believe God dropped into my life about 2 weeks ago, and he has been, I tell him, like, dude, you are a divine appointment. And I've been talking to him, and one of the stories that he shared with me is he said, as a kid, when I would get into the car, my dad's car, we never knew if it was going to start. And he said, so I would pray. I would say, God, please let dad's car start, because if the car would start, it was going to be a good day. If the car would not start, it was going to be a horrible day. Dad's mood, everything. Kind of like the same thing with alcoholics. Okay, let's hope he's not an angry junk today. Like, and so now this man is super successful, a great friend, great brother, and now he gets into his car. It's a nice car. And now he gets into his car, and when he does, every time it starts, he thanks the Lord. Like, thank you for letting my car start. I know this day belongs to you. Some of the greatest churches that I have gotten the pleasure to speak at over the years have been some churches that had what we call bus ministries or into the city ministries back in the day, mm-hmm. where some of those kids in their community maybe didn't stick, but when they looked for faith in 10 years,
yeah,
if they looked for faith later, they came back there because those people were so good to me. And then some of them became church leaders, to use our context to keep this circle going. Yeah. Some of them became deacons and elders.
Yeah.
And so if you don't think that church has a heart for outreach, you're sorely mistaken. It's because there are people that are leaders that were touched by community yeah. work earlier. What I want to finish today with, JD, is this. I would love for you to, and I call it a pitch just because I have the business hat on, but I would love for you to extend maybe your email address, phone number, I don't care, whatever way you want to do it, website. But I want you to tell people, number one, if they're in an area and they would love to, not that you think you're some expert, but
you've
been in the field doing it, right? Where they can get in touch with you if somebody would like to consult with you or just ask you more about it from any area, a church here, a church in another city, town, county, however they're finding us. But then also people that are here want to know more about how to get in touch with you about, I would love to send my kid or my neighbor. Yeah. Tell me about those things as we finish up.
Well, and before I do that, definitely not an expert on this. That was going to be my third real quick is we don't do it right most of the time. I mean, we've had to back up and punt so many times, and yet Jesus keeps those doors open for us. He really is the star of what we're doing. But I would love to share it with you. JD@graymere.com. Just JD. At Graymere, GRAYMERE.com is my email. Man, if you're ever driving by that A-frame church across from the golf course and you see my black truck out next to the office side of the building, man, hop on in, knock on the door. I'd love to talk with you about it if that's something that you wanted to know more about. I can drive you around and show you, you know, kind of how we do it and the places that we go, as long as you're willing not to, you know, not to try to start a bus ministry where we're doing it. Go somewhere else. Like, spread the love is what I'm saying. Sure. Is, you know, not to be selfish, sort of. But there's a big city out there. We've only got capacity for 55 kids.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But there are hosts of neighborhoods where kids would love to be picked up on a bus.
Well, and that's the thing. People, restaurants pop up here. Things pop up all the time. And the mentality is, people have to eat. Medical facilities pop up here, and it's, hey, people are still sick. Like, there's things to be done. There's things to be learned from each other. And that's our whole message here on Circle Unbroken. We're thankful to have J.D. Schwartz with us here today to talk about this. Also, in the near future, God willing, we're going to have a video piece that we do from Front Porch Radio. Those of you that liked our parade footage of Mule Day Parade, our high HD coverage there. We've gotten a lot of great compliments on that. You're going to see a video that we're going to produce from Circle Unbroken. It'll be Circle Unbroken Productions, and it will be where you can hear this episode, but then you can also see. You can put a face to JD. You can put a face maybe to what our streets look like and places that we go here with Circle Unbroken and also into the city. We are thankful for people like JD. We're thankful for churches like Graymere that say this: we don't think we're perfect, we don't think we wrote the book, but we sure do love the book, and we sure do love the one who is perfect. I think that's a message that we're supposed to have as Christians and believers, and we're thankful that you joined us today on this episode of Circle Unbroken.
I was standing by my window on